From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Washington legislators are expected to consider reauthorizing the president to negotiate trade agreements on the fast track. The Brazilian soybean crop is a little smaller today, says one consulting firm, than expected. And KFC is looking to rebuild its brand in China. Dave Dickey will have details of these and many more stories in this half hour. Don't forget, as we close out our program today, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Monday afternoon, nearby contract in the March soft red winter wheat, 701.5, down 13.5 cents. July there at 709 from Chicago, down 14.5. Those are both closes and not settlement prices. The hard red in Kansas City did settle down 7.25 today at $7.67.5. Back from the corn pit in Chicago, 6.95 1/4, a close up 5 cents. May futures 6.87, closed 2.75 higher, and July at 6.72. 1/4 higher. September futures will close down a penny at 5.72 in December contract for the corn pit. The harvest month, $5.50 1/4 a bushel, down 2.5 cents. The March contract there at 5.60 1/2, down 2.75. March soybeans for the day, $14.52 on the close at 9.25 lower. May futures, 14.34 1/2, down 9.25. And July soybeans, 14.21 1/2, 7.5 cents lower. August contract, 13.82, down 7.5. The September, $13.11 3/4, 6.25 lower. And the November beans at $12.63, down 3.75. January of next year, by the way, up 6 cents at $12.70. It was the only gainer in the soybean pit for the day. Bean meal at $4.25.60, down $1.30. Bean oil, 28 cents lower at $50.07. Live cattle futures finished the April at 128.42.5, up 20. April feeders at 143.70, were 7.5 lower. And the May lean hogs at $88.80, $1.10 lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. April contract at $93.12, a penny lower for the day. RBOB gasoline at $3.06, that's a penny and 9 cents lower. And ethanol at $2.36 7/10, 0.4 cents higher. The difference between those two, or the spread, now 69 3/10 cents. That's 2 3/10 cents narrower than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.41 7/10, 12 6/10 lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.10 and a tenth of a penny. That's 0.3 cents lower on the afternoon. And gold at $1,586.10 an ounce, $13.80 higher for the day. U.S. dollar trading 81.67 is up 0.18. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service as it comes from for Urbana-Champaign this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 43 degrees. It is a beautiful day out. East, northwest, or northeast winds at 11 to 14 miles an hour. The gust all the way to 18 this afternoon. And then this evening, freezing rain. That'll come after midnight. A low of 31 degrees, blustery, with an east-northeast wind at 15 to 23, gusting to 30. Chance of precipitation this evening set at 90%. New ice accumulation of less than 1/10 inch. Rain and snow before noon tomorrow, then a chance of rain. A high of 36 degrees. It'll be breezy with an east-northeast wind at 18 to 23. That'll decrease through the afternoon. Winds could gust, though, as high as 30 tomorrow. 100% chance of rain in the area tomorrow. No new snow possible at all. Scattered snow showers, cloudy, with a low of 29 degrees. West-northwest winds at 7 to 11 miles an hour. Chance of precip on Tuesday evening, 50%. Wednesday, scattered snow showers, cloudy, a high of 34 degrees on a west wind at 11 to 15, and a 50% chance of showers on Wednesday. Scattered showers on Wednesday evening. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
This is the 25th day of February, and the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we have just a week and a day to our all-day ag outlook. Let's start there because we have, only about 18 tickets left, and we're going to sell those through Wednesday. Whatever's left will be left. We will not sell tickets at the door, so if those folks are out there that haven't gotten a ticket yet and want one, they should dial right now at 217-333-7300. Take me through the trade for the overnight and day trade today, Kurt.
I'm surprised nobody's bought those tickets and put them on StubHub and tried to get a little premium for it, because that will be a good event next week, Todd.
Well, they're $25. I'll tell you what. Why don't you put them up there and see what happens?
Hey, Pete! I got Pete thinking over there about this. Pete, our leader, he might get on that.
Oh,
man.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, back to your original question. Sorry about that. But beans, sort of the dynamic market today. I think we saw a lot of unwinding of the long bean short corn spread today. And the beans, were a little overbought from yesterday. Not yesterday. Last week's explosion to the upside. And I think we saw a lot of unwinding of that long position. Fundamentally, we're seeing a little bit better weather in the southern hemisphere. Fundamentally, we're heard talk of bird flu in Mexico. Also, there's talk of China releasing some beans out of the reserve and canola out of the reserve, trying to free up some stocks here until the southern hemisphere gets a little bit more aligned to get some beans into their country. They were a buyer of beans. They'll probably be a buyer's more inventory as the price goes lower and through here. The key is kind of watch today's lows. The back end went and sort of filled the chart gap we left last week on the big up move. Also, it met some downside price objectives here. So I wouldn't be surprised as we move through the weekend here if beans do trade lower, we'll see a little bit of buy enthusiasm to see a recovery. I don't believe we're going to rally big or anything, but beans are in a position where we're going to create a trading range that's going to offer opportunity for both the bull and the bear here over the next several weeks, Todd.
And I suspect you'll probably tell me something similar for at least old crop corn. And might part of that be due to two reasons. There's short supply, maybe much of it in at least the southern part of the state of Illinois and the southern Midwest that has some problems in the corn. And then the second part is that it's just terribly short all over the Midwest at this point.
You know, and I think that's where the producer has the upper hand on knowledge. I think the producer holds the trump card here. I'm kind of excited about the old crop corn, especially as we go into deliveries here. The technical guys, I don't think, realize that it's tight. And what's happening is, if you look at the chart, there's going to be a tremendous amount of buy stops put above last Monday's highs. And I believe that, you know, we create a little demand here, a little tightness in the delivery situation. We get this old crop above last week's highs. The technician is going to view that as a breakout or buy program is going to kick in to push the market higher. I'm not talking, 50 cents up or anything. But I think there's some things brewing in here where we can have a little bit of a bounce in the corn market here as we go into the first week of March, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Then when you look further down the line, of course, given a normal growing season, I suppose we need to start there anyway, we'll have a pretty good supply, except that if it comes in at the normal time, we'll be coming up with a short corn supply that may not be in very good condition, back to the aflatoxin issue.
Yeah, I mean, the old crop's pretty well gone, but yet the demand's not there. For the first time in history, the end user said no. And they're in that mindset here that, they're not going to chase the market or pay up. So they will be eager buyers as we move into this new crop year. Like you mentioned there, the earlier corn's probably going to get the better bids as they work to recover some inventory. The biggest play is probably new crop basis. I don't believe you should be a seller of a large amount of cash forward contracts unless you're locking in profit, because I believe the basis is going to firm up. That does not mean price probably will go higher, but I think if you put a price floor with paper, you can capture anywhere from 25 to 30 cents by managing on paper versus the cash market. The thing about new crop is if you look at the USDA outlook numbers, they're doubling exports. They're painting a bigger, better picture on demand, which, you know, we really need to have to offset maybe the bigger potential of production we're going to be faced with as we move into 2013 growing season.
Hogs have been facing a downward marketplace. Anything in the future for them that looks brighter than what they've seen for a while?
Well, we need a some type of recovery here. The slide has put us back to the last summer's lows. We kind of feel we're in hunt of a bottoming through here. Seasonally, we'll see demand pick up as we go into spring. We're under the opinion that another dollar or two down in the leans warrants a speculative long position, with the idea we can move back into the mid-86 level basis, the April contract in the lead here.
On Friday, a cattle on feed report came out. What do you think of those numbers?
Well, when you look at them, it continues to emphasize that things are going to be tighter as we move down the road. We saw some good movement in through here. The thing we've got to continue to watch more than anything is this export demand. Per capita consumption continues to deteriorate here in the U.S., and a lot of the cream of the crop is the export to overseas buyers, so we need to continue to make sure they're comfortable buying U.S. beef.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, a couple of items that are in our calendar at willag.org that you want to keep track of are, of course, the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's coming up next Tuesday. You can get your tickets right now, and you better do it now at 217-333-7300. Tomorrow, we'll be in Belleville at the St. Clair County Farm Bureau building. That starts at 7 o'clock for the free Ag Outlook. And next week, we'll be in Lincoln and Jacksonville as well. And I'll be up at the Illinois Soybean Summit on Monday. Be a busy week and a half. Check our calendar out at willag.org. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the House Ways and Means Committee plans to take up the issue of renewing the president's fast-track trade promotion authority during the 113th Congress. TPA, which lapsed in 2007, provides for fast-track congressional consideration of trade agreements on an up or down basis under strict timetables for votes. Congress has not debated a TPA bill in 11 years. Commodities consultancy Ag Rural trimmed its estimate for Brazil's 2012-13 soybean crop today to 81.2 million tons because of a lack of rain in the northeastern state of Bahia. Much of Bahia, a relatively minor soy producer that accounts for only about 5% of the country's total output, has gone more than 20 days without rain. But the harvest is also behind schedule in many states. In southern Goiás state, 33% has been finished, well below the 55% at this time last year. KFC launched a campaign today to rebuild its battered brand in China, promising tighter quality control after a scandal over misuse of drugs by its poultry suppliers. The company promised to test meat for banned drugs, strengthen oversight of farmers, and encourage them to improve their technology. KFC is China's biggest fast food chain with more than 4,000 outlets, but was hit hard when state television reported in December that some suppliers violated rules on the use of drugs to fatten chickens. The company estimates January sales plunged 37%. Fertilizer maker Agrum Incorporated says it posted a record fourth quarter profit as sales from its retail segment climbed 8%. The Calgary, Alberta-based company said net earnings rose to $354 million, or $2.34 a share, from $193 million, or $1.20 a share a year earlier. Retail sales rose to a record $2 billion, while wholesale sales fell slightly due to weak international potash demand. The United Soybean Board says that the overall oil levels in last year's U.S. soybean crop increased over the previous year, while average protein fell. The oil level in the overall U.S. soybean crop rose by 0.3% to 18.5% last year, and protein dropped a half point to 34.3%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the co-host of next week's All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. There aren't but a few tickets left, and once Wednesday comes this week, we're going to cut it off. And if you don't have a ticket, you won't get into the door next Tuesday. Dial in now at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300 for your ticket to the All-Day Ag Outlook. The cost is just $25. Now, up next, farmers across the nation are about to decide whether or not to take out federally backed crop insurance policies. And unlike the rest of us that use federally backed banks that insure our deposits via FDIC automatically, farmers must make some decisions about their federal insurance plans, and those are due beginning March 1. I suppose you're wondering about the FDIC line as it's related to the story on crop insurance. It's mostly just an illustration that the federal government insures many things, and your money in an FDIC-insured bank is among those items. Farmers just happen to bear more of the cost of their insurance than those with a bank deposit. Farmers' premiums range from 2-3% of value up to 10%. Depository rates are more in the range of less than 0.25% in cost. They are two different things, but they're both insurance, federally backed. Farmers during the month of March will choose whether or not to take crop insurance. They'll also make some decisions about what those policies will cover. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke has some thoughts on that process and its recent history.
Yeah, the most popular product in the state is revenue protection, which is a fine product. It provides excellent risk protection, and it's done at a farm level. One of the things, though, that producers may want to take a look at is GRIP HR, which has fallen in use in recent years, but this year it might be a good alternative to think about.
There are two reasons to consider GRIP HR, and they're on both ends of the production spectrum: a drought and a bumper crop.
Yeah. If we have a drought, and like we did last year, GRIP will make large payments, and GRIP for 2012 will make large payments. We don't know them exactly yet because we don't know the county yields, but once the county yields are final end of this month, we'll know how big those GRIP payments are. But last year, you know, in some areas, particularly in southern Illinois, we'll see $400 or $500 GRIP HR payments. So GRIP does a pretty good job in a drought year, and it also does a pretty good job in a price decline year, and it will do better than RP in that situation.
Again, RP, or revenue protection policies, are the most popular in the state of Illinois. The reason GRIP HR would perform better should commodity prices decline sharply is because it is possible to buy more protection.
And it'll do better than RP because it has a 90% coverage level rather than the highest 85% coverage level for RP. So that extra 5% makes a big difference when we're looking at price declines. and you can think of that pretty quickly. You know, 5% is roughly a 30-cent price decline, you know, somewhere between 25 and 30 cents. You know, if you add 25 to 30 cents on the price, that will make a big difference on payments.
It also happens to cost a great deal more to purchase, but when Schnittke ran some comparison numbers, it looked like a good buy. You can read Gary Schnittke's thoughts on crop insurance online at the Farm Doc Daily website or use the University of Illinois crop insurance calculators on the Farm Doc website. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, let's on this Monday afternoon check the cash grain market. On the phone line with us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County is Greg Johnson. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you heard Gary talking about GRIP and RP insurance and that the GRIP would protect not only against a drought, but it also might protect pretty well against a really downturn. Big downturn, that is, in the marketplace. What do you think the options for farmers are? Not for the insurance part, or maybe you can give me that too, or for a much lower corn price by the time we get to fall.
Yeah, there certainly is that potential. That's the biggest scare, is that there's potential for a big downside move in the corn market. We've already seen a big move down from, you know, 620, 625 back in December, already down to 550 on the board. And, you know, there are analysts talking about sub $5 corn this fall if we get some rain this summer. So, you know, I know the GRIP is more expensive, you know, but it does have that multiplier payout, so you could collect more in a big down year. The problem with that, and not a problem, you just have to realize going in that you're insuring the county, you're not insuring your own farm, so that if you have a problem but the county does okay, you wouldn't collect. So that's the one thing about GRIP, but certainly it has its attractive points, especially in a year like this where the downside potential in price is pretty great.
Now tell me about basis and near-term pricing, please.
Well, farmers have not responded either on old crop or new crop on corn. We did see a few old crop beans move. We hit above $15 last week, and open orders got hit. So we did buy a few old crop beans at the $15 level, but they've since sold off from there. So corn movement has been very slow, and as a result, basis levels are starting to get better. Our basis improved a nickel today, and I think you'll just continue to see that. If the board doesn't do some of the work, the basis is going to do some of the, you know, do most of the work in the old crop, and bean basis is just steady at this point.
Magic number for beans is 15. How about for corn? What do you think?
You know, I think depending on a combination of basis and futures, you know, 750 is still what they're shooting for. I think they've lowered their targets from $8 to 750. If we could get back to 750, I think a fair amount of corn would move. And great, and there's not that much corn left to move, you know, number one. So, you know, that's the big point.
Yeah, well, what kind of condition is that corn that's left in?
Well, I think it's in good shape. I think farmers, you know, that were in areas that had good quality corn, you know, it dried down quickly, and that's usually the problem. If you put wet corn in the bin, you sometimes fight that. But the corn was relatively dry going in, so I think the corn's in, what's out there is in pretty good shape quality-wise.
How about that which is not out there but then in the elevator? Is it in not such great shape?
Oh, no, I think we're okay. I mean, the aflatoxin issue continues to be an issue, but it's just hit and miss. You sample enough enough corn, and eventually, you know, the corn makes its way through the system, I think.
Yeah, parts per billion, it doesn't take too many samples to find.
That's right.
Bad ones, does it? Hey, what are the bids for the day?
Old crop corn, 715. New corn, 533. Old beans, 1456. New beans, 1240. And new wheat, 690.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson with the Andersons. I'll be back in just 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon.
It's St. Walburga Day. The nun was an English missionary to the Frankish Empire. She died on this date in 779 and was canonized on May 1st of 870. She is known as the patron of crops. It's also International Clam Chowder Festival Day and National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1904, Adele Davis was born. She was a nutritionist and author of Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. The book created a firestorm in the medical community, where doctors found on average one mistake per page. In 1918, on this date, wartime food rationing began in parts of England. The rationing was in response to German U-boats that were sinking imports of food. By the time rationing began, parts of England had just 6 weeks of food on hand. In 1922, Donald MacLean was born. MacLean was a Scottish potato expert who had one of the world's largest private collections of potatoes, with 367 varieties. The potato revolution was credited to MacLean. He spent his life making the public aware of the innate diversity of potatoes, including cooking quality, pest and disease resistance, flavor, and appearance. And in 1934, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton died. An American botanist, she helped establish the New York Botanical Gardens. Britton published more than 350 papers, including more than 170 on mosses. And that's this date in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Monday afternoon, let's check the weather forecast here on the Closing Market Report. Mark Russo from Chicago, Illinois, and Chesapeake Energy is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day this afternoon, but I'm told, at least by reading the forecast, that it's going to turn ugly much sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we see a major winter storm here on tap here for Illinois, let alone the entire Midwest, which is now in cranking up and across the Southern Plains region. And that will begin to influence us here during the late morning and afternoon hours here across areas of central, northern, and southern Illinois, moving from west to east. And thus, we'll see kind of a mix of rain, sleet, and freezing rain across some of the southern listening areas here. Before then changing on over to all snow, and that'll continue through the overnight hours ending on Wednesday morning.
Oh, that sounds on Tuesday morning, you mean?
I'm sorry, that'll be ending on Wednesday morning
So it will be ugly. So I need to know one thing in particular from you, because tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'll be leaving Champaign heading towards St. Louis for a 6 o'clock in the evening Ag Outlook panel there. How rough is it going to be?
Hope there are some contingency plans here, since looks like the timing here. We'll try to keep the storm moving as slow as possible here for you, Todd.
Yeah,
but
thanks.
Yeah, try to leave as early as possible if you can.
Oh, as early as possible as I get done here in, another 2 minutes? Tomorrow, that is. And the earliest I can get out of here is about 3. So we'll see how that works. We'll play that all by ear. About the rest of the week, what's it look like?
Well, the rest of the week here actually looks pretty quiet, albeit cold, as we don't have any other major storm events here on the heels of this imminent one. But this colder-than-normal pattern here that's evolved here recently, that looks to stay in place here over the next couple of weeks, as well as the general stormy pattern continues, although, as I mentioned here, kind of quiet the rest of the week, but we do see some additional systems moving through next week.
No, the stormy's not so bad. We could always use a little more rainfall, at least at the moment. Mm-hmm. Turn your attention to South America very quickly. How are they doing as they head through the beginning of their harvest season?
Well, across Brazil, where harvesting is taking place, we do have improvement in some of the harvest progress of late here in Mato Grosso, which has turned dry over the past week and will continue, although we do see wetter conditions here returning to Mato Grosso as we look ahead into the early part of March. So some disruptions of early harvest progress there. Argentina continues to see their crop develop here, especially soybeans going through the critical yield sensitive stage here for pod development. And they're in improving mode here as the patterns turn more active here across Argentina, and that's helping boost soil moisture reserves for pod developing soybeans.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be very careful as you make your way through the next 2 days as that winter weather storm is making its way through the area. Have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.